So Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is God's word.
Hi, if you haven't met before, my name's Simon. I stay on staff at Christchurch Mayfair. Lovely to be here today. And it was just 3.5 weeks ago, my wife and I had a little baby girl, a little daughter, and we called her Florence, Flo Florence. And, you know, on the day, kind of told the immediate family, my sister very kindly kind of rang up some more of the extended family on the kind of periphery of the family tree to tell them the news. And she rang up my great aunt Eileen in her 80s to tell her the news. Simon and Lucy had a little baby girl, and they named her Florence. And my great aunt Eileen replies, oh, well, did Simon know that there was a Florence in the family? Oh, no, he didn't know. Yes, not a nice woman. Right. It turns out, she goes on to say, yes, whenever she came around for Christmas, she was just always very grumpy, prickly, never really wanted to play games with us, just not a very nice woman. Now, to be fair, my auntie Eileen is known in the family for calling a spade, that's the kind of person she is. But it did just make me stop and wonder, kind of 60 years after I die, how will my character be remembered? And interesting, in contrast, actually, I read a few years ago this book about a man called John Stott, who was the minister rector of a church up the road, All Souls Langham Place, by the BBC. And it's came out after he died, a portrait by his friends. There's kind of 40-odd chapters, people who knew him throughout his life. So, you know, an old university friend writes a chapter about him, anecdotes, that kind of thing. His PA, colleagues, people at church with him, his nephew, neighbour. And so really, you get a really good feel for what he was like as a man. And overwhelmingly, what people said of his character was that he was a really kind man, really loving, self-controlled, but in a really good, positive way. You read it, and actually his character was very attractive. The kind of character you read, and you'd be like, man, I'd love to be like that. When I'm 80, I'd love to be like he was when he was 80, his character. I thought, why? Why do they all speak so warmly of him? What is it about this man? I think, what is it? Well, he was a Christian who believed God's promises. And so he lived his life in light of them. So he believed God's promise that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And he believed that. And so he was happy, content, with a much more simple lifestyle. He was joyful about that. He believed that God loved him even though he was a sinner. And so actually, he could then love people who annoyed him. He could love people who irritated him. It seems actually like he's a great example of what we read just now in Galatians 5. Someone who kept in step with the Spirit because he believed God's promises. So Galatians chapter 3 verse 5, it's not on the sheet. You read the list of what the fruit of the Spirit is like. So for example, put your eyes down at verse 22, 23. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want my life to be marked by those things. I want my colleagues to have that kind of impression of me. My family, I want them to remember me as someone like that. I do. And yet at the same time, I know that often, you know, part of me doesn't really want to be patient. Part of me wants to tell that annoying person how it is. I want to vent. Part of me wants to complain all the annoying things there are. So I feel both those desires pulling on me. And that's actually what Galatians 5 says the Christian life feels like. Kind of being like being in a tug of war between two forces, like a spiritual Jekyll and Hyde. Between two, the flesh and the spirit. So you look at verse 17 with me, please. Verse 17. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit was contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. Okay, so two in conflict with each other, flesh and spirit. Flesh, that's what I'm like by nature. That's my kind of inbuilt yearning to be selfish. The Bible word is my sinful nature. And it's obvious what part of us that is. I think we all know it. So verse 19, Paul says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. These kind of things. I don't know, my hatred, a jealous ego, a rage, selfish ambition. It's obvious, Paul says. And so the flesh is always kind of pulling on my emotions, on my desires. The flesh is pulling on my actions. And the other pull is from the Spirit. The Spirit is from God. And his work, a fruit in a Christian's life, is to make them mirror God's character. So verse 22, those characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, they're God's characteristics. The kind of thing against there is no law, they're good in themselves. So for the Christian, God has implanted the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life to grow this fruit. So the Christian experience is always two desires. It's natural to feel like the flesh is pulling on you, what that wants to do, and what the Spirit wants to do. I don't know if it helps. Imagine a massive tug of war on yourself. Two sumo wrestlers pulling, flesh and spirit. That's the Christian experience, being in the middle of that. Now, obviously, none of us in our lives want to be marked by this description of the flesh. Of course, you know, we don't want our characters to be marked by jealousy, fits of rage, or selfish ambition, drunkenness. Of course we don't. I want more and more to be marked by the fruit of the Spirit. I can see that his fruit is good things. Of course we do. And we're commanded to in verse 25. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. So what does it mean to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, it means to believe in God's promises. Okay, so that reference, Galatians 3 verse 5. Paul asks, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law, your kind of own effort, or by believing what you heard? Believing God's promises, and so by the power of the Holy Spirit, living in light of them. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, but how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit give me kind of real power, change day to day in my life? So that's why I want to spend kind of the next 10, 12, 15 minutes spending our time on how do I walk by the Spirit? Well, perhaps if we're here, we're not yet a Christian believer ourselves. I'd love to point out these are all marks of the Holy Spirit's work. Holy Spirit is the one who can give real change in life. So actually the answer, if we're not yet a Christian, to become a Christian, to believe God's promises of salvation, trusting in Christ, and he will give you his Holy Spirit. That will work real change in you. Of course, I guess we know lots of people who aren't Christians who are lovely people, and certainly lovely maybe some of the Christians we know. Of course, a few quick things on that. Christians are only ever free from the presence of sin in the new creation, in the future, in heaven. So Christians will always be pulled by sin now. There will always be that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't give instant change, but brings progress on a trajectory, if you like, towards God and his character. So Christians will be at different stages of maturity along that trajectory. But that's what the Holy Spirit does, and brings maturity. And of course, there will be some people who call themselves Christians. Galatians 5 says, if their lives are marked consistently by these acts of the flesh, they're a phony. So there's some people who call themselves Christians who aren't. So I'd say, become a Christian. God will give you his Holy Spirit. That will change you. Okay, but if I'm a Christian, how does the Holy Spirit change me? What's these things? Believe God's promises, and his Holy Spirit gives me the power to change. So imagine you're at a T-junction, okay? Two directions you can go in. Two ways you can go. Go in opposite directions. Spiritual immaturity or spiritual maturity. So the flesh wants to take you towards immaturity via the route of sin. But the Spirit, if you like, the Spirit is like a bus. You hop on and it takes you towards maturity. You've just got to hop on the Spirit. That's the power that will take you there. So if I believe the promises of the flesh, well, I'll walk in that direction. For example, if I believe I'll be happier, I'm better off if I have an affair, well, I'll have one. The promise I believe will lead to my action, the direction I'll go in. Or, if I believe the promise of the gospel, that God is a faithful God, faithful to me, if he wants me to be faithful to my wife, if I believe that promise, and the Spirit will give me power to be faithful. So the Holy Spirit, if you like, that's the bus I'm on, the direction towards maturity. Okay, so that's quite a big example. What about something much more day-to-day, realistic for the rest of our day? What about, I don't know, you're back in the office or back home, and that person does that thing? Do you know what I mean? It's always that person, and they always do that thing. I don't know, they never pull their weight. Always arrive late. And maybe a family do, and they just always say these stupid little comments which hurt. Like, oh, we're annoyed, we're getting irritable. We want to, I guess, snap at them, vent these emotions. For some of us, I guess that would be out loud. Maybe our character is the kind of person to snap out loud. Others might be more passive-aggressive, and it's quiet. But even still inside, I can feel the temperature of my blood rising. I think that's in the category of the flesh, fits of rage. I think it would look differently in us. But no, I want to kill that. I don't want to go down that path. I want to keep in step with the Spirit. So we tell ourselves, okay, God has promised me that he is a patient God. He has promised me he is forbearing. He's a very long fuse with me. For years, actually, I didn't even believe he existed. And yet he still loved me enough to die for me. Even now I am a Christian, I sometimes live as if he doesn't exist. And he's still very patient with me. Wow. God has a very long fuse. That's the promise I believe. So actually, I can have patience with that person. I can take a deep breath. I can remind myself of the gospel I believe in. Preach it to myself. Preach it into my emotions. That is keeping in step with the Spirit on the road to maturity. Okay, maybe another example. What about jealousy? Maybe I see a peer from days back at university or someone in the same kind of work situation as me. And I see the success they enjoy, maybe the holiday they went on this summer, the kind of houses, assets they enjoy. Maybe they've got that bit more than me, and honestly, I'd quite like it. I'd like that. Even though I do know I'm a Christian, I've chosen to use my money differently. And yeah, there's still that pull. Part of me is tempted to feel jealous, envious. Perhaps, if I'm honest, could even a small part of me want them to be brought down a rung. Well, that's a path to immaturity. We need to kill that sin. So I want to keep in step with the Spirit. So I want to remind myself, God has given me everything I have. He teaches me to pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. Today, I just ate those sandwiches. Personally, I've never known a day of thirst. I've never known a day without eating. God has given me everything I have and more. And I'm content with that. I'm thankful for his provision. I am. So many of us, I guess, who are Christians would have lived off maybe more modest incomes than we could have done, because we've wanted to give our money away to support gospel work. We wanted to help those in need. We wanted to see the gospel spread. And why do we do that? Think about it. I did that because we believe it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So when I'm tempted by jealousy and envy, I see their photos of their holiday or the size of their house, I need to remind myself of that promise. That's preaching the gospel to myself, to my thoughts. I don't have to be jealous. I can be content. Better than that, I can be joyful in the gospel, happy with what God's given me. Seems one of the issues for the church in Galatia was a kind of grumbling, prickliness. If you look at verse 20, some of the characteristics there, discord, dissensions, factions. The very end, verse 26, it's not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. So it wasn't a happy church to be in, basically. It doesn't sound like a very fun place to be. So a church, lots of culturally very different people, different backgrounds. You have a kind of Jew-Gentile divide, different characters. And people were rubbing each other up the wrong way. People seemed to be grumpy about Paul's leadership behind closed doors. And what they're talking about is splitting the church into groups, into factions. Their words are dividing. And in church today, that's obviously still something the flesh is wanting to pull us towards. Immaturity. And of course we know, gossiping, negativity, it can spread through a friendship group, it can spread through a workplace. I think as Brits we can toy with grumbling, can't we? The weather, tube, that kind of thing. But it's unhealthy. It's taking us down a path which is teaching us to be unthankful. Unthankful for what God's given us. So no, I don't want to go down that road. I want to kill my sin. I want to keep in step with the Spirit, which verse 22 produces goodness and self-control. Okay, so I remember the promise of God to me, that though I am annoying, I am very prone to wander from God. Actually, his words to me aren't negative. They don't grumble against me. Actually, instead, they offer me grace. He offered me goodness. He offered me salvation. They're good promises to me. His words are good. Goodness and hope. So it means I'll watch my words. I shall think before I speak. I'll think twice about putting someone down. Because I'll want to keep in step with that same Spirit of God. Of his words to me. Of course, there are many wonderful things, perhaps about living in the internet age. It's great, you know, the palm of my hand, my mobile, search for anything, social media, read articles. But how we use the internet is one way that the flesh is going to try and drive us down this path to immaturity. So the Christian's got to use the internet. We've got to be aware, the flesh and the spirit are fighting. We've got to go in fighting. So I don't know, I'm online, I'm reading an article, I spend my time reading articles on football tactics, you know, fairly innocent stuff. And all of a sudden you see advert for whatever it is pop up on the side of the screen or a link to another article. It's completely inappropriate. Completely inappropriate. And part of me is tempted to click on that. Part of me is going to be tempted to look. That's my flesh. It's going to want to do that. I know whether or not it's a good idea. Simple question. My mother-in-law was on my shoulder. What would I do? Makes it fairly obvious. But when our conscience is flashing up like that, think like a smoke alarm, that's the cue to keep in step with the Spirit. And remember the promises of God and to believe them. God's ways are good. They're good for me. He's a God of purity. He calls me to be pure. Now I will meet this temptation with faithfulness and with purity to my wife, to my God. I'll take self-control. It might take action. Maybe I won't go on that website again, whatever it is. But keeping a step with the Spirit, that's his power, believing the promises. So you see, those are just kind of four examples. I guess we could go on and work them through in lots of day-to-day ways. That's the principle to be thinking and acting on. Believing God's promises, and so living in the light of them. That's keeping in step with the Spirit. I don't know, it might sound like the examples I gave were pretty ordinary, pretty run-of-the-mill. But change isn't usually instantaneous. It takes time. And the Spirit works through our hourly decisions, our daily routines. And so we need these healthy habits, or what in the past Christians have called the ordinary means of grace the Holy Spirit works through. These are the God-given means to help us keep in step by the Spirit, just year by year, day by day. Two I'm going to mention there on the bottom of the handout. One is keeping in step together. Together. Talking about the church. Think about it. If you're training for a marathon, one of the challenges is just to keep going in weekly runs. That's why so many people in London join the military fitness clubs or running clubs. It's easier to keep in step together in a group. And that's why God has given us the local church. This battle for maturity is not a private battle. Christian life isn't just me and God. It's in community, with brothers and sisters, in church, as far as we can. It's key to keep in step together. And secondly, I think that last question, what are you filling your mind with? So we've got to be honest with ourselves, I think. Are the TV programs I'm watching, the books I'm reading, the apps I'm on, are they feeding the appetite of my flesh? I don't know, is it just like chucking timber on the fire? Or are they encouraging me to live by the Spirit? I think actually we've got to be honest about that. Realistically, if I go on holiday and I spend all week on the beach, reading whatever it is, historical fiction, which had been essentially sexed up, of course that's going to pull me in this direction. Of course it is. We need to ask ourselves, what am I filling my mind with? Is it helpful? I think one mark that John Stott, people mention, is that every day he'd read his Bible, a man of the Scriptures. He filled his mind with the Scriptures. It taught him to believe in God's promises each day and to live by them. I think a daily habit of Bible reading, just reminding yourself at the beginning of each morning, the promises of God, a wonderful way to do that. Very helpful to keep in step with the Spirit. So we'll close there. In conclusion, so what does it look like for me in my life to keep in step? It's believing God's promises and living in light of them. The Holy Spirit, he gives Christians the power to change and to go down that road towards maturity. These characters, this fruit of the Spirit, that's how I want to grow. That's how I want to be. Should we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your good promises to us. Promises of life, of freedom, of hope, grace. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside us as Christians. And Father, we pray that today we would be people who keep in step with the Spirit. I pray that tomorrow we would do that. Father, year by year, you would grow us in maturity, Lord. to be more like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.